This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
Hello, sir. This is Jonathan from Sears. Do you have a moment for a survey?
I'm sorry, I do not.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Sir, just one question, if you don't mind.
Shut up, Borkin.
Sir, is your refrigerator running?
Give your picks and move on. This is Adam's segment, you idiot.
I will ruin Rutgers.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Virtual reality sex machine.
Oh.
The freshman out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
He's very bad.
Gianna.
Mike, get your picks ready.
Gianna.
I predict that I'm going to get blackout drunk at every tailgate so I don't have to watch the game.
It's back. We have finally made it. It is game week.
It's been a long, long time.
It has. Should we get a little pumped for old time's sake? For old time's sake, I'm feeling juiced right now, Max. I'm feeling juiced.
What are you intimating?
I want to do a little chop, 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 everybody. It doesn't work as well when we're virtually, but yeah, man, this is it.
Boston College and Rutgers.
We're excited.
What channel is the game on?
Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. ACC Network, I believe.
Oh, I'm going to have to do like a thing where I sign up for a 7-day trial of something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, well, okay. We're back for another episode of the Are You Screwed podcast. Yep, it's Adam, it's Max, the third person that you sometimes heard, rarely ever heard, sometimes, I don't know, not here. That's Mike, he's not here, gone. Probably pretty upset about Gorbachev or whatever.
Why did you sideswipe Mike like that?
I don't know. I feel like Mike sideswipes us a lot. This kind of he kind of sideswiped the podcast forever.
He doesn't even have a platform. Loud. He doesn't have a platform to defend himself anymore.
That's true. His voice has been taken. All right. Well, it's good. It's good to be back. It is game week. Rutgers and Boston College. I did some prep for tonight.
The depth chart came out today.
There's going to be a lot of stuff on this episode, or some other things, some other things that we'll talk about, or we could talk about football, or a lot, or yeah.
Keanu,
there's a lot of ores, Max.
Gaining a competitive advantage by not letting anyone know who the starters are.
Yeah, we're obviously alluding to the fact that a depth chart came out today, as Max said, and there were a lot of ores on there. I'm sure there's a joke that Dave White, who's not listening but now will be told that his name has been mentioned, has a great pun out there when it comes to us saying ores a lot. But yeah, all right. Is there a lot to get into?
Oh, we got to get into the depth chart. We got to get into it.
Are we breaking down the depth chart tonight?
So I don't know where I fall on the spectrum of like Rutgers football fans, but I don't know about you, but I don't really pay attention to Rutgers football until maybe a week before the season starts every year. Like, I'm not paying attention to roster moves or, who's winning camp battles, even though we don't get to find that stuff out anyway, because college football is stupid and we don't get any information. I was looking at the guys on the offensive line and I was like, who are these fucking guys? Like, I have not heard of most of the guys on the offensive line.
Well, actually, yeah, I wanted to just remind a couple of people of some things that are going into this football season. I think either we don't know, like Rutgers fans just haven't known about this, or we did and we forgot, because it's been a while. We do wait a really long time for this sport to come back. And I can't believe, you know, the last time we were talking about this, or we were involved with Rutgers football, they were in a bowl game. They were in a bowl game. Counts.
Didn't count.
Counts. Counts. Didn't Gator Bowl. Gator that's Bowl. I hope there's a. Is there going to be a banner raising ceremony against Wagner?
Do they put up banners? What do they put up? Like,
and they used to have the when Chris Ash was here, if you remember, he put all the bowls on like a wall, like paintings. You know, they looked like banners, but they weren't banners. And I think Greg got rid of them. Right. I think Greg got rid of them because they didn't count.
Okay, good.
They weren't real bowls.
Well, and
but the Gator Bowl was a real bowl. Real bowl. Real bowl. Absolutely real bowl.
I still can't believe they played in that game on like 8 days' notice with a bunch of players out, already being like a bad football team and like having to go. That was crazy.
Yeah, but it was fun.
It was fun.
Gave us something to talk about. So yeah, so just a couple things I wanted to remind people about.
Why haven't we broken down the depth chart yet? Isn't that like isn't that what we're doing here? Aren't we breaking down the depth chart?
I know nothing about the depth chart. I feel like Mike this year, where I probably can't name more than five guys on the team, to be honest.
Really?
I probably could name
five guys.
Well, I did look at the roster for like 2 seconds prior to us taping this, but I don't care to. This I was really thinking at this point, prior to us doing this, I was like, why are we giving a coach who doesn't want any attention on his team attention?
Because we're doing a podcast.
I'm angry at myself for still giving this team attention when somebody clearly doesn't want it because of competitive advantage. Because Jeff Hafley and those fighting Boston College Eagles are going to be so surprised on Saturday when one of the quarterbacks takes the field against them, and they're going to forget how to play football.
Remember when Chris Ash did this 3 years ago?
That was a good UMass team, Max. That was a good UMass team.
Chris Ash did this where he wouldn't tell anyone who the starting quarterback was, and he wouldn't let his players talk to the media. And then someone on the coaching staff hated him so much that they leaked it anyway. I think it was to Kratch, and I don't know who it was. But then they leaked anyway who the quarterback was going to be. Oh, McLean Carter. And then Politi wrote a column: can McLean Carter save the season for Rutgers?
Remember, they were down 14-0 in that game.
It was
14-7.
It's 21-7, 21-7, I think.
Something they were down, a significant amount to UMass. The depth chart. I got nothing on the depth chart. I just want to a couple quick reminders. Johnny Langen's still on the football team, so I guess that's a depth chart reminder. I totally forgot.
He was one of the oars, right? He was one of the oars. Tight end. There were three oars at tight end.
Yep. What like crazy numbers he this year? Is he back to 21?
I didn't like take note of the number that Johnny Langen.
By the way, once again, thank you to Greg Schiano for not allowing the media to speak about anything really football related, because now I'm fucking talking about what number somebody's wearing.
Did you see that the offensive line is beefy? The offensive line has an average of 325 pounds. That's some beef.
I gotta think Ray Lucas is gonna be very happy this year.
I think Chonky, as the kids call it.
Chonky.
Thick with two C's.
Thick.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So they got some legitimate size maybe up front. I don't know what else to say about the offensive line, because I don't know anything else about the offensive line other than
they gotta have good fundamentals. They gotta block as one unit.
They got a good push.
They gotta win the battle in the trenches.
Right. They need to really just show some determination. They gotta have more grit.
They need to
guys against them.
They have to impose their will.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Yeah. Yes. The offensive line has to impose their will.
Yeah. Just old school Big Ten football.
That's Ray Lucas call them? Oh, the big fatties. That's right.
Yep. So we got some big fatties this year. I know the defensive line is apparently supposed to be the, what's it called? Position of strength.
Sure.
On the defensive side, because again, nobody has really been allowed to say anything, so I'm just repeating the nonsense that has been just hinted at in other podcasts and in other various media outlets and sources.
You can mention them.
Well, I listened to the Rutgers rant today and Jay Vance media guys. And
How is that podcast? I haven't listened since like Kratch and Sarge.
I'm still confused why the audio is still so bad. Honestly, it really is terrible. And I get it. I'm sure we're taping this right now. I know last week my internet went in and out a couple times. I've moved locations. I've tried to improve within my household. Hopefully my connection stays stable. But I think for the most part, both you and I have very good audio connections. It's not very costly to go and do that. So, you know, Steve, Pat, and Brian could go ahead and just invest in a good microphone, each of you. Each of you, please.
I haven't listened, but I love that.
Because I like it. I do like it. I like that. You know what it is? They're one of those podcasts that are they do it in a short amount of time, which is nice, unlike us sometimes. Their segments are entertaining, or at least I do want to hear what kind of they have to say about that. I do like the Rutgers Rant podcast. So they do a good job. Just the audio sucks. It hasn't gotten better since it was the only good one who usually had good audio was James Cratch, and he is no longer with them. So I don't know. He took the good audio with him. Sarge didn't. His audio was always iffy as well.
I remember Sarge recorded something for us. Remember when I had people do their season predictions?
Oh yes.
Like 3 years ago. And
that's where the Charlie, comment the bite comes from.
Oh, right.
They get blackout drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. From the intro there. And it sounded like Sarge was calling us from a bathroom at like a rest stop, which is where he might've been calling us from,
which is fine. That is the ambiance, you know, I was just missing a little flush at the end from that one. It would have been good.
I can't believe that was only 3 years ago. That feels like
It feels like a long time ago. I mean, COVID itself too. Also, I feel like that was that's a year and a half, 2 year span. That feels like it should count as 6 years, basically. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it should be. So yeah. Otherwise, back to depth chart. I don't know what else do you got for me on the depth chart this year.
There are players on it. Some of them will start.
Oh, we have an Irish kicker.
Oh yeah, I didn't read the article, but I saw that there's
the Gaelic football player.
What's his name?
Jude. I don't want to totally butcher his last name, but it's.
I'll check the Rutgers media guide.
All right, I'm going to give it a shot.
I'll get it through there.
McAtamney, McAtamney.
I don't think you got that right.
Yeah, I don't think I did. Jude. Jude is his first name.
The J-Man.
We have. It was brought up in shout out to our the Rutgers Sports Outsider Discord. I'm sure we'll get into many topics that were suggested and sent in from them as well as Twitter later on. But I know one of them, our legal advisor Raj, had sent in what nicknames we needed to give for the Irish kicker.
I just want to say, if you want to join the Rutgers Sports Outsider Discord, there's a link in our Twitter bio to join. It's like a message board, but for less old people, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's fun on there. Anyway, go on with what you're gonna say. I just want to play.
Yeah, I don't know. We need to come up with, we have the Aussie assassin, right, for Adam Korsak, who also depth chart wise is back.
People were actually using that.
The Aussie assassin. I'm pretty sure Newman stole that from you, and
and Carlin uses it. Like, I invented that, right? That was definitely me who invented that, right?
Listen, whether or not it's true, you take credit, just run with it.
Like pikesicles,
yeah. But yeah, so we have the Aussie assassin. Now we've got an international kicking duo. We need to come up with some type of nickname as well for Jude and for both of them. Like together, what can we get together?
Here's the problem. Don't we have to know that the Irish kicker is good before we give him a nickname?
Oh no, Fonseca on their podcast Rutgers Rant again. I'm told he's great. So he's great. He's good.
I don't know.
Hold on.
Just because you heard something on a podcast doesn't mean that it's true. I remember Richie Schneider came on this podcast and said that Art Sitkowski reminded him of Peyton Manning.
Well, he didn't say how he reminded him of Peyton Manning.
So you don't always believe everything you hear on a podcast.
I believe the quote that Brian gave too on their podcast was something along the lines of, if they have to win the game, he won't miss a chip shot. I was like, that means nothing, Brian. Like, maybe he meant to say something else.
He'll make like a 26-yard field goal.
So it was something along those lines. Like, okay, well, if we have to kick an extra point to win a football game, the Gaelic football players got this under control.
That is not a rousing endorsement.
Do you know any Gaelic football rules, by the way?
I don't even know what Gaelic football is.
So I did a quick Google search this morning while – once I got it into work, very productive otherwise. They use the rugby post, basically the style, but they also have a net on the bottom. You could kick, and it's like they use a round ball, so like a soccer ball. You can kick the ball through the uprights. That's a point. And then you could like punch it into the net. That's 3 points. And I don't think you're allowed to really, like, you could tackle, but you have to be going for the ball. That's the excuse, like, at all times. You can't, like, like it's not like rugby or kind of. I don't know. That's talking Gaelic football. Everybody enjoy. So yeah, we have an Irish kicker. The Aussie assassin is back. The running backs, Manungai is back.
Hey, first team All-American for Corsac, right? Like unanimous, I want to say.
I
think it was across every, whoever votes on these things. I think he was first team All-American in all of them.
I'm just glad that like we are fully embracing the Big Ten mantra, and that's need a good punter.
Need a good punter. The problem with Rutgers is you have to have more than just a good punter.
Or do you? Because we've found ways to have fun regardless. So again, if you want to win a football game, sure. Yeah.
I'm so tired of talking about the damn punter, man. Like we better not, this better not be another whole year of bragging about the punter. Like we gotta have something else, man. We can't do this for another season as a fan base where we just talk about how great the damn punter is. I can't take it.
I think we might be though. I think we might be.
It's a young team.
It is a young team. You're going to hear that a lot. What else are you going to hear this year a lot throughout the season?
Well, I do like that. I think at a press conference, Shiano was asked about which of his old teams this team reminded him of. And he said the 2004 team, the one that went, what they go 4-7,
I believe.
4-7.
That was, I think, the last year they played 11 games.
Right. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute. That's the worst team that Shiano realistically could have said, because he wasn't going to say any of the, he wasn't going to say like when they, one of the years they went 1-11 or 0-12. Right. He wasn't going to say 2010 when they went 4-8. And so he basically gave the worst answer he could possibly give to that question, which was the 2004 team. That doesn't really strike confidence into me.
Well, why do you think that that is the worst answer to give? Because I don't know if it is the worst answer
Because he can't say one of those truly awful teams that went like 0-11.
Oh, you're saying because you think they're going to be truly awful.
No, I'm saying that as a coach, he can't.
He kind of picked the middle route, like the safest route
What I'm saying is that he can't say a truly terrible. What, he's going to compare him to a one win team? Like he's not going to
I was wondering. Now it makes sense because again, going back to the Rutgers rant, that Steve Politi has mentioned this in his columns, and he also mentioned it on their episode as well too. That he mentioned the 2004 team, and it kind of got me. Like I was kind of trying to think. I'm like, I can't remember. I feel like I have a very sour taste in my mouth from Shiano teams. In terms of playing like a decent FBS team to start a season, because he hates that. He does not, he's made it clear that he does not want to really do that. And that just doesn't mean anything, just looking at kind of like the notable years. So 2004, the interesting thing, the reason why they didn't wind up going to a bowl game was after, I believe it was the Temple game homecoming, they had that really bad car accident with Manny Collins and two other defensive players. And it kind of derailed the end of that season. And it led to a horrible Thanksgiving Day game against UConn in front of, I think, 13 people, four of them, including my family. But they beat Michigan State to open up the season at home on ABC. Ryan Neal had a pick six. They won that game 19-14. Then they lost the week after that to New Hampshire. It's the Ricky Santos game that our friend Danny likes to talk a lot about and always bring up, and Chip Kelly. Yeah, so that was 2004. So what he's basically saying is it's the year before you really saw drastic improvement. They went to a bowl in 2005, obviously. So in 2004, it's kind of like, again, it's on the fence. Things can kind of go either way. And going back to my point about opening season games, this Boston College game, I mean, it's make or break in terms of maybe having a decent season in terms of like the numbers of wins that you get. I mean, you lose this game.
No, he's on the hot seat.
Okay. Hot seat.
Yep.
Put him on the hot seat already.
Put Shiano on the hot seat. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. We're going to be those guys. Doesn't win on Saturday. Hot seat, Greg.
I think it is. I think it's not year three. You know,
who's our candidate?
Do you have any afterwards? Do you have any idea what to expect from this team? Because I don't. I have no idea.
I have nothing. I have nothing. And that goes to your point, and I don't know if it really matters or not. That again, like, listen, they're only practicing against themselves. It's not like you even get to see them against any other teams. However, we literally know nothing. The media, again, Steve and the guys said it on their episode. Like, they make an agreement with Rutgers to watch and not say anything. I won't go into what I would do. I don't I get it to a certain extent. But
wait. So you're saying you would agree to not say anything and then say something anyway?
No, I don't.
That's what it sounds like you're saying.
In a perfect world, I'd fight the power and say, I'll see you week one. If you don't want any coverage, like, I'll see you week one and we'll talk then. I don't really understand.
I'll see you week one. That's really kind of, it's kind of threatening. I'll see you week one.
Sure. I get it. I get why they kind of go along with it. I just think it's absolutely ridiculous from all standpoints. From like a journalistic standpoint, it's a little weird. We're making agreements to basically watch stuff and not report on anything, right? For your own benefit down the road, which again, I understand. I understand it's super serious football.
Right. Stuff.
I mean, from the competitive advantage standpoint, it's obviously a bunch of bullshit and nonsense. And also, I think from the gambling perspective, too, now that that's a big thing, I think it's horseshit. I want to fucking know who's playing in these games so I can bet properly.
You're really going to change based on, like, the depth chart being different? You're never going to. Okay, that's one thing about college sports that is not going to ever change.
Too many oars and I can't bet properly.
So the oars. Okay, so you don't know anything
about. The oars are throwing me off.
You know nothing about the team. However, you would make different bets if the oars were different. If there were no oars,
I think I would make a better judgment if one in particular oar was changed.
So you want Evan Simon to start?
I'll take Evan Simon to start.
You don't want Vedral. You just don't want Vedral to start.
I like Noah Vedral. I like Noah Vedral.
So you're not
I
taking
like Evan Wimsatt.
You're not taking.
I like
positions.
Evan Simon.
You're doing the oars also.
Yeah. I mean, if they can go with the oars, I'm going with the oars. So yeah, I don't know. Okay, that's depth chart talk. I don't know. Well, I have nothing else on the roster. And going back to my research, by the way, real quick, just to pay it off, they beat Michigan State in 2004. Then the next year, that was at Illinois, they lost. Remember, they had a big lead in that game, lost 33-30. That was the Leonard Leap,
right? Yeah.
Dave Sims on that call. That we saw that one for the first time.
Why are you adding in that Dave Sims was on there? That's a very Danny Breslauer thing.
Yeah, it was a very Danny thing. I know Dave personally, so just shout out. He's a great guy.
Dave Sims on the call.
I'm being Danny. It's about me at this point. 2006, they beat UNC to start that season for the great season on that road game. 2007, did I have it here that they beat Buffalo? I think in 2007. Yeah, 2008, they lost to Fresno State 24-7, and then they got crushed in that home opener against Cincinnati in 2009 when they finished the stadium and everything. So I think it's 3-3 and playing like a, you know, half solid FBS type of team. So, and seasons kind of went in the direction how those games went, other than really 2004, you know, 2004, like, again, they beat Michigan State, and then next week was just a brain fart against New Hampshire.
How are you watching the game?
This weekend?
Yeah.
So I've got to work this weekend. I'll catch a majority of it before I have to leave. Then I'll probably have to listen to Carlin and the guys towards the end on my way up to work. So yeah, that's what I got. The good thing about it is, like, I'm not then upset. I'm not upset either way. They wind up losing, then I'm like, oh, it was smart to take work, take the money. If they win, I'm like, that's great. It sets up a bye week against Wagner, and the Temple game becomes a little bit more interesting, and then it potentially makes Iowa extremely interesting. So I'll just be happy that they won a season opener against Boston College. So
you going to Wagner?
I will be at the tailgate for Wagner. I will not be going inside the stadium for Wagner.
Is it because of Wagner? Is that
no? We wound up having other a kid's birthday party to go to. It was a good excuse. I'll be able to go ahead and do that. Which, by the way, big news, breaking news. Do you have like a horns? You want to throw the air horn?
Oh, I actually do. I have it here.
Yeah, go for it right now. Breaking news here on the.
Wait, you want breaking news or you want the air horn?
The air horn's a good.
No, because I have horn. Right. Yeah.
All right, breaking news this year. The Health God tailgate is getting an RV.
Oh, you are getting the RV now.
Yeah, it's back.
The RV is back. Oh,
the plan is back. We over the years have accumulated enough people. Our tailgate has continued to grow, even thanks to the Chris Ash years. It really didn't grow enough. We're going big in the Scarlet Lot this year. We've got an RV at least reserved for the first two games, I believe. We'll get to the rest of the season, but I feel like this puts us in a different category now.
Oh yeah,
in terms of tailgating, right? Like this is made it.
Like before, we always told people, like, hey, come find us at the tailgate, and then some like straggler like Raj will step in, or like and we'll come by, but like no one important, or no like a lot of people won't just come by and do it. But you tell them you've got an RV, look, people will come.
Right, you're like serious.
People, you're more respected when you have
it. It also does then raise expectations. So you got to be careful here, right? I've got to find, how can I be like Greg right now, and what's our 2004 in terms of tailgating gear? That's kind of what I need to set expectations at and not go overboard.
I feel like there's food, there's beer. Like what is there to?
I don't know. It's just like the type of food. If you go to a tailgate with an RV, you're like, oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna get something awesome. Mm. They probably, people, I feel like they expect, you know, like one of those chalkboard signs with like a drink of the day written on it. Mm. I feel like I have to do that now.
You should do that. That would be cool. I'm in for that. I mean, I don't want to do anything, but you guys should add that. I mean,
a drink of the day.
Yeah.
All right. We'll work on that. Okay. So we'll get a drink of the day going here.
Some ribs maybe.
Yeah. See, that's difficult. We don't have like, ribs. I couldn't really cook very well. We'll have the grill as always, we do it well enough. I feel like when it comes to food, it's what I'm excited for it though.
I'm excited. No, the RV is going to be cool.
That'll be nice. If, if the kids come at all, in theory, you could put them inside the RV, let them nap, and you have a little bit of free time out in the parking lot.
Oh, that's cute that you think my 3-year-old would nap in an RV in a parking lot.
Oh Rutgers. No, I was talking about mine. You're on your own. that craziness. Yeah, no, I was just talking about the potential for mine to maybe
enjoy it,
sleep in the RV.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, it's already. The tantrums have started already.
Oh, you haven't. It hasn't even begun. Nope, yet.
I know. It's
you're
not. Yet.
You're not. Nothing has even started yet. The problem with kids is that they learn they have free will. And as they start to learn that more and more, it's just a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got the RV. Very excited about that. Should be a fun football season on the tailgate side. Definitely looking forward to that Friday night Nebraska one.
Yeah.
That should be a fun one.
You're going to that.
Yeah. We were talking about that really. Right. It's been a bit, no. And the texting we were talking about kind of last time, a somewhat notable night game was played at home.
78-0.
Excited for
78-0.
Yeah. So
that was the last. Well, here's, they played a home night game in 2020, but that didn't count because there were, I think Michigan in 2020 was at night, like a 7 p.m. start, but that doesn't count because there were no fans. The last time in front of fans, Rutgers played a night game. It was 2016 against Michigan, 78-0.
Good memories. Good memories.
I stayed all throughout 78-0. I mean, I had to.
Yeah, you had to. But all right, sure.
Counts. I could have walked out of the booth and just been like, no, I'm done here.
Yeah, you could have. All right. So anything else in terms of schedule-wise or for the season that you're kind of looking forward to? Do we want to give season predictions?
Do we want to give those in our gambling segment at the end?
Yeah, let's do that, because I'm sure there's got to be an over-under, right, set for Rutgers for the season that we could quickly find, that we could add that to the back end of gambling.
Yeah, I'll look it up. We'll get to that later. So you had some things you wanted to do, some non – you said it, I should have some audio ready. You want to do
– Yeah. Yeah, but like, I did do a little bit of prep. I've gone through a fair amount of my stuff so far. But what I would love to do is get back into kind of regular season mode right now. I'd love to give out a wanker of the week for this episode heading into game week. So go, let's give me my music for wanker of the week.
Play me. It's time for wanker of the week. Wank, 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 wanker of the week. Cheerio.
We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so that it can't get going as fast as it's going?
Oh, Greggy, Greggy.
Ha,
ah!
Ha, 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 ha.
I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
That's a wanker of the week.
Yeah, wanker of the week. All right. So I it would not be the start to any season if we didn't kind of just really go after it week one. And week one, our wanker of the week is none other than our previous AD, Pat Hopps. So Pat is my wanker of the week because if you've been paying attention to kind of the interwebs of Rutgers Twitter, there's been really kind of it's a small awakening, a reckoning, we can call it, with the Knights of the Raritan, which is Danny and John's NIL collective, and kind of their battle and struggle right now with what seems to be like the Rutgers Athletic Department, aka Pat Hopps. And I'm not saying anything that I was told privately in divulging it. I'm going off of what has been basically put out there. That's easy to figure out what is going on. John Newman has been quoted in multiple media outlets, as well as on Twitter, pretty much begging for the athletic department to really kind of embrace the NIL collective and embrace what's going on in college sports regarding that. You had Danny pretty much saying Danny's most kind of typical way possible that they need help. Jeff Towers, one of your biggest donors, tweeted about it. And Steve Politi mentioned it in a column, and he's mentioned it in two podcast episodes, that basically there's a holdup from Pat Hobbs and that he is not fully on board with what is going on the NIL side. And honestly, dude, get your shit together. This is your job.
You know
you
what?
Need to embrace this.
I don't know, man. Pat Hobbs might just not, he wants to make sure it's NCAA legal. He doesn't want to get deposed by the NCAA. You know, he's just being careful.
No, fuck that. Who cares about getting deposed by the NCAA? Nothing will happen at that end. Now, if like the IRS comes after you, okay, maybe then you've got a little bit of something to worry about here. But come on, the NCAA? No. All right, it's bizarre that an athletic director at this point, to me, the way I view it, as NIL is great for schools like Rutgers. We all know that the big guys are going to get their money. They're going to get their fancy virtual sex machines or whatever's going on in those locker rooms, as well as all the NIL money. But at the end of the day, the problem with Rutgers has always been the donor base, right? Like Rutgers does not get a lot of money. They don't have the big fish and they don't have enough small fish. However, now, when you are a small fish, your money can make a way more immediate impact. If all Pat Hobbs is focused on is facilities, you know, then you got to wait to build up thousands of small donations to get to that point where you're ready to do anything with a facility.
Who cares about more buildings?
We don't need another rod. Okay. One erect rod is enough.
Oh, wait a minute. I heard that at the Knights of the Raritan event, one of the Rutgers athletes, Cassidy Spills, I think was her name, called it the rod, referred to the Rodkin Center as the rod.
That's good.
It's spreading. Now it spreads.
I might have to make another donation. I am now a member of the Knights of the Raritan, by the way. Giving my monthly donation to them. I might have to make another one right to their, what sports is she playing? Lacrosse?
Sure. I'm not sure.
She might be lacrosse or soccer. One of the two, I believe it was. Either way, I'll find that out on the side. Danny will text me when this is out. We don't need to do the homework right now. So going back to my point, small fish, you matter now.
Lacrosse. She is lacrosse.
Shout out lacrosse. Lacrosse school. NIL is great, again, for small fish. Our money can make an immediate impact, and you don't have to sit there trying to pull from everywhere. And we're finding out exactly what we predicted forever. People, athletes really don't care that much about facilities. They would much rather get money directly. We knew that forever. It just now is playing out in front of us. And athletic directors are kind of like being like the game's over. And you could either get on board or you could fight to the detriment of your own school. And I get it. You still want to do things, you know, you need money for big projects, whether it's redoing the rack or find, you know, being able to build the channel Death Star, or needing more blocking sleds, whatever it is, I get it. You need some of that money, you know, to still come in the usual way through like the R fund or however that works. But you need, Pat Hobbs needs to embrace the NIL and Knights of the Raritan. I mean, Greg Schiano has even endorsed it. I mean, your football coach endorses it. You need to go on there and you need to make a push to go out and try and find some more money for what those guys need right now. The buildings will wait.
He's a wiener. He's a wiener.
He's a wanker.
He's a wanker. He's a wiener. He's a weenie.
He's a wanker of the week.
Pat Hobbs is a weenie. That's, you know what? We haven't done any polls. Is Pat Hobbs a weenie?
I mean, you gotta. I don't know. I really do think kudos to John and Danny, everybody with what they're doing. I there's still a lot of problems with NIL. It doesn't go all the way. We've said it from the beginning of the start of this podcast. It's not like we're done right now, but it definitely is better than where it has been. And there is a really good chance to make a big impact again if you're one of the small time donors, which I think it's been a problem. Rutgers sucks as a Big Ten school in terms of donorship. It is what it is. Us in Maryland, we don't have a big base of donors.
Is Maryland's problem as bad as Rutgers, or is it like?
Yeah, it's really bad without Under Armour guy isn't given as much anymore.
Oh, the Under Armour guy. I don't know his name. I just know he's the Under Armour guy.
Yeah,
do you know his name?
I did at one point know his name.
Because like know. Phil Knight, we know. Right, he's the Nike guy. That's Oregon, but we don't know. The Under Armour guy is not important enough at Maryland.
Under Armour guy, who comes up at that point? Kevin Plank.
Sure, I wouldn't have known that.
All right. So anyway, going back to that point, you know, Maryland had that for a while, kind of lived off him. I believe they also have a pretty significant issue when it comes to donorship. That's always been Rutgers' problem. Like they're not good at raising money. We're very good at, you know, sucking the tit of the state capital. And trying to dry that out and wasting money that way. This just seems like a much better way. If you view it as wasting money, this is a much better way to waste money. Waste it directly on the players.
Yeah. Then it go into construction companies or just to pay. I mean, they don't need more. They don't need more contributions. They don't need, like, we've already seen they're operating at what is it? $73 million each of the last 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, no one is coming for this bill. They can lose $50 million every year. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm still
so and you need, like, they're going to fall in football. If you don't start to get this stuff together, like, you're going to start to fall behind. Like, and I'm not talking, like, you'll fall behind Illinois. I'm sure Illinois has got
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Kinds of schools got stuff going. Like, you have to get, the AD has to be behind it. Like, he's a weenie.
Yeah, the wanker of the week. So
he's a weenie.
Pat Hobbs, wanker of the week. So that's what I got on that. I don't really have anything. I think, let me check, Rutgers related. Oh, a couple things that stood out to me. There was an article today, Pete Dammel, I believe, had it, wrote about Gavin Wimsatt, and did a nice little feature on him. Two things that stood out to me. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. Couple things that he learned in his first year at Rutgers. He now walks faster because of the fast pace of the Northeast. We're always in a rush, I guess, around here. So I'm wondering if that's going to transition to the field. That may, we have had an impact on Gavin Wimsatt.
Maybe he'll be more fleet of foot in the pocket. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Faster. Walks faster. Thanks to us. So you're welcome, kind of Gavin.
Tapping his toes around, keep, you know, being alert.
Yeah. And then number two, he learned how to properly fold pizza now. Guess he wasn't a pizza folder prior to coming to Rutgers.
Or was he doing it how do you improperly fold pizza? Maybe he was doing it wrong.
Or like maybe you don't have good enough pizza to fold.
Maybe he was folding it from tip to crust. Maybe he was folding it like that.
Or like, I guess if you have, like, you don't have New Jersey style pizza or New York style pizza around you. You know, if you get like, you know, small slices of like Domino's or something. Or Pizza Hut, I'll give them both.
He's from Kentucky, right?
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that was it. But he said he now folds his pizza when he eats pizza. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't folding it prior. Mm-hmm. So do we judge him on that? Like, is that a strike against Gavin? Or no, we're letting him learn on the job.
Is it some kind of sign as to whether or not he's going to be the quarterback?
I guess it shows that he's adaptable, right? He could adapt to any situation.
I'm trying to read between the tea leaves here. That's the saying, right? You read between the tea leaves.
I think so.
You read between the lines.
You read the tea leaves.
You read between the lines.
You read between the lines. Right. Right.
Okay. That's how those sayings go.
Right. So yeah.
God, I can't stop thinking about that Lou Holtz impersonation.
Oh yeah, hold on, just real quick. What we're talking about here is go find Pat McAfee's Twitter page, and on his show today, there was just an amazing Lou Holtz impersonation. They did a skit on him, and it was
sounded more like Tom Brokaw when you did that. You didn't sound
thank you.
It was weird.
Thank you. That's a compliment, I think.
Tragedy today.
Like old newsman. God, we're in mid-season form right now. Go check that out. Lou Holtz. There are kids today that growing up without Lou Holtz.
They don't know who
Mark May
is. Isn't Lou Holtz out there like campaigning for Trump or something?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we could see him on Newsmax now. That's pretty much where you're gonna find Lou Holtz. Which is good. Good for him. Still working at this age. Love it.
How old is Lou Holtz? He's got to be 90. You think he's 90?
Let's see. Lou Holtz is now 85.
Okay.
85.
He's pretty spry for 85.
Yeah. I mean, he always has had good energy. Actually, this will lead well, since we're talking about kind of old college football coaches or people, or, you know, notable figures in college football. This will lead well into overrated, underrated right now, if we want to get into a little overrated and underrated.
Yeah, we can do that.
Can we do it?
I was busy putting up a poll. Is Lou Holtz spry?
I would love to hear Lou Holtz say spry.
Spry.
Yeah, your impression sucks just as much as mine.
I haven't practiced it. All right.
Let's do a little overrated and underrated. Overrated, underrated. Since we were talking about Lou Holtz.
Wait. You have to go over the rules first.
Okay. We give an item or talk about something, and we say whether it's overrated, underrated. And you know what? I don't want to do properly rated anymore.
Okay. I just want to make sure the people knew, because it's confusing.
Gotcha. All right. So overrated, underrated. We were talking about Lou Holtz. Overrated, underrated. Lee Corso.
Oh, underrated. Underrated. I love Lee Corso. Like, whenever he passes, Saturday at 11:58 a.m. is never going to be the same, because like I need him putting on a mascot helmet.
Because there's been a lot of Twitter chatter this week. I don't know if you caught game day last weekend. It wasn't Lee's finest moment. He struggled with his health. I believe he did have a stroke, and that affected his speech, and it's, you know, he's obviously been slowing down a fair amount.
They're better than Desmond Howard.
His time in general on the show is they're not using him as much. That segment and everything kind of got people talking, like, why is he still on the show? Like, people, what the fuck? Do not take our enjoyment. Like, Lee Corso seems like he clearly loves to do this and wants to be a part of it. What the fuck are you going to ruin that?
You know what?
Sit there.
You know,
and
who else?
Watch 30 seconds of a bad segment. It's still great. It's still better than anything else at that moment. Shut the fuck up.
You know who else had a stroke? Dick Clark. And Dick Clark got up there every year on New Year's Eve, and he rocked Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. And since he passed, it has not been the same. Okay, and Lee Corso is the Dick Clark of college game day. I don't care that he had a stroke. I don't care how old he is. That man is that show. I don't watch that show except the last 2 minutes of it to see him put on a mascot head.
But by the way, if they're smart right now, and I think Lee would go for this. Listen, I'm not a huge hologram person. But I think when the time does come and he's no longer with us, yet we're going to need hologram Lee Corso putting on the headgear at 11:58. So right now, go to his home, have every school in the country send their mascot head to him right now. Let him go and tape him putting on the head for every single team. And when that time comes, we will still have our beloved headgear picks on Saturday morning from Lee Corso. Absolutely underrated. He is absolutely underrated still.
No one would call
knock it like off, telling us to not enjoy Lee Corso and get him off the show.
Who I feel like you're creating a straw man. Who are these people that
it's been Twitter chatter. Search Lee Corso on Twitter.
It's messed up. There are some people you don't mess. You don't mess with Dick Clark. Okay. I don't know if I'll fight you about Dick Clark, but I loved Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. And they should bring him back with a hologram. If we're gonna use holograms to bring shit back like Harry Carey. Like, can we use it instead to bring back cool people like Dick Clark?
I'm all in.
And
all in on that.
Lee Corso, who hasn't passed yet, but you know.
Yeah. All right. So Lee Corso, both of us.
I'm not trying to kill Lee Corso.
We will not take credit for that, by the way, if that happens this year. Max will not take credit for that. All right.
I don't think it's called taking credit. I think it's taking blame.
Or credit. Wow. You still called it at that point. Overrated, underrated. Beer snakes. You know what a beer snake is?
It was cool. The first time I saw it, I think it was on a Mets broadcast. And since then, I've just kind of, okay, I saw it once. I don't need it. Like, to keep seeing it, it's not that entertaining.
So I'm also going to say overrated. However, I've yet to see one in person. So I'd be fine with seeing it once at a sporting event, and probably I'm done with it.
You want to see it in person?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got to check it out. I've got to give it a fair shot.
But I feel like, unfortunately, you really can't do it at a Rutgers game. I don't think there are enough people and not enough beer being sold.
No. Yeah, the one that was going on in Ireland this past weekend, if you saw between Northwestern and Nebraska, the Nebraska fans, they fucking crushed the beer snake. Didn't crush the onside kicker at the end of the game, but Nebraska. They did crush the beer snake.
Man. The thing about being Nebraska, they came into the Big Ten. We're Nebraska. We're going to be up there. We're going to compete for conference titles with Ohio State. And here they are getting beaten by Northwestern like every other year and getting laughed at by a Rutgers podcast.
Yeah.
Like that's the faith that Nebraska.
Not only that, like they lost donors to Rutgers. Think about that. They lost donors to Rutgers. I mean, I'm sure they're fine, but that's got to sting a little bit. All right. Continuing on with overrated, underrated, a couple other ones that I had. Overrated, underrated. Summer.
Overrated.
Also going to agree. Overrated.
It's just too hot.
Yeah, it's gotten too – it's disgusting now in summer around here. Overrated.
I don't think it's more disgusting than it was when we were, like, younger. I just think we're older and we're more cranky about it.
Yeah.
Because summer
feels different.
Yeah, because we're old.
Still feels different.
We have kids and we're old and we're washed up and it's mostly that.
Yeah. All right. Overrated. Both of us say overrated here. This is a topic thanks to Zuzu on Twitter. Fruity alcoholic drinks. Overrated or underrated?
I don't really drink that much. But underrated. I always like them.
Yeah. I agree with Zuzu. Stop shaming people who enjoy fruity alcoholic drinks. They're delicious. They're delicious. They're refreshing. They can be very classy sometimes too, or trashy, I guess, right? You could have like your, you know, what's it called? Jungle juice, right? College, it was jungle juice days, but now you can come up with some like fancy cocktail. It's fruity. It sounds great. Underrated. Toothpicks. Toothpicks, overrated, underrated.
I'm gonna have to abstain. I never like. I think my grandmother has like a thing of toothpicks on her stove or something. Like I've never used a toothpick before.
All right, I'm gonna say underrated. If
what are you eating? What are you eating that needs a toothpick? Like corn? Like what are you?
I use a toothpick. Not a toothpick. I was gonna say I use floss at the end of every day. But yeah, toothpick, I just don't think there's anything better. Like when you walk out of a restaurant and they have one of those toothpick things where you just roll it and a toothpick comes out, you're obligated to get one on your way out. Like that's a law. It's an unwritten rule. Out of the restaurant, on your way out, if you see that thing sitting there on the hostess table, it's something free. You got to take it. Same with the mints.
What do you do?
Same with the mints.
You eat the toothpick? Like, what do you do with it?
No, you eat. It just stays in your mouth. You can pretend to be whatever you want, right? Like a, I don't know, like a southerner or like a, I don't know, cowboy or something
like
that.
Why are you cosplaying a cowboy when you go out to a restaurant?
No, it's what you do when you go to a restaurant and you have one of those toothpick things. You're obligated to take the toothpicks.
I used to love the diner mints.
Right. So again, if there's anything that's up there, and the real bangers are the toothpicks that are mint flavored, absolutely delicious, refreshing, and you can still kind of pick at the leftovers that are in your mouth.
So actually, something off the summer being really hot, I saw some people I was in Philly. I saw like a good amount of people wearing. It was like 95 degrees out, and people wearing jeans, like long jeans. No. What is that? Like yeah, I have to wear like gym shorts when it's, I can't even wear like dress shorts, like when it's that hot.
Yeah. It's
like psychotic.
Yeah.
Like
that's crazy.
If you're wearing jeans, absolutely crazy. Long pants on like a hot summer city day, you're a psychopath.
Yep. I would agree on that. That's all I got for underrated, overrated.
Bars of soap.
I think bars of soap are overrated. I do not like bars of soap.
It's gross, right? I feel like a bar of soap is dirty.
I don't need to like, and then you get the like random piece of hair that's on a bar of soap. Like, where did that come? I don't want to put that then back on me. Now, I didn't think about this. How, before I go any further, I need to, how do you wash with a bar of soap? How do you physically do it?
Like, what do you like? Oh, I was at my grandmother's house. She had a, she has bars. Like, I went to wash my hands after using the bathroom. Okay. And then she has a bar of soap there.
How do you physically wash your hands?
You wet your hands a little bit. You wet your hands a little bit first, then you pick up the bar of soap and like, I don't know.
So you pick up the bar of soap and you're rubbing your hands together.
Yeah, I guess. And it feels so slimy.
With the bar of soap in your hand though, correct?
Yeah, for a little bit. And then you put it down.
Okay, so if you're doing your entire body, you're in the shower.
Why are you adding? This is a very like sexual.
I'm going to get to my point. Again, it's not sexual at all. Don't take it that way. Be an adult about this. I'm allowed to ask another grown man how he washes his own body. Okay? How do you take a bar of soap and like demonstrate for me?
No. I don't use a bar of soap.
Do you rub? If you were, there's nothing else in the world left but bars of soap. Okay, you only got bars of soap left. How are you washing your body with the fucking soap, Max? Are you rubbing the soap directly on you? This is fucking serious.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes, you are. You are.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay. I think that's not how it's supposed to be, though. And we've been doing it wrong forever. What you're supposed to do is kind of like what you do when you're washing your hands, which is you're supposed to rub the soap all over your hands to get it nice and lathery and soapy. And then you use your hands on your body, you shouldn't be putting bars of soap in like your ass crack and then back on the fucking, you know, whatever the shelf is in your shower. We've been doing it wrong, people. If you are one of those people right now, you know who you are, and you're a bar of soap person, and you're not lathering up your hands first with the soap and then using your hands to touch yourself, that's on you. And your bar of soap has been in other people's crevices, and it shouldn't be.
I will say this about bar soap uses. I don't think they're sharing it with anybody.
Okay, but now you're a psycho. If you go into somebody else's home, you shower in their house, and you see a bar of soap there, and you use that.
I would never use that.
I'm not saying you. I'm talking to the people right now. Talking to people, because there is somebody listening to this right now who has done that, and you are mental. mental.
I don't think there's a lot of people
who have done
that. I asked, the reason this the soap came up was I was at my grandma's house earlier and she had the soap. And then I posted it in our Discord about bars of soap being overrated. You can join our Discord. The link is in our bio on Twitter. And I lost my train of thought.
Soap, you're at grandma's house.
Oh, right. The soap. A lot of people in the Discord were saying, yeah, I use a bar of soap. And not just like boomers, like younger people were saying, yeah, I use not only bars of soap. But I was surprised. Like, and then someone sent an article. 64% of people are still using bars of soap.
Is it more like eco-friendly? Is that why?
I don't know. I thought we as a society had just decided that liquid soap was better.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm willing to ruin the environment over.
Like my grandma's 82 years old. I just expected, you know, she comes from the time when, you know, you went down to the general store and you bought soap or whatever people did back then. Like she's gonna have a bar of soap.
Remember like back in the day, like handmade, like soap used to be like a nice gift to give to somebody.
I think
here's a nice bar of soap.
I think people still like, you know, scented soaps. And I think women use soap. Sorry. Like,
I think women clean themselves. Okay. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I'm going to leave that there.
So that's our soap talk for you, which was way more entertaining than Rutgers depth chart talk. Just want to point that out.
The beefy offensive line.
They probably have right like liquid like in a nice locker room setting. Like at Ruck, we're not doing bars of soap there, right?
Oh, that's interesting.
What kind of soap is that? The
big guys.
Kinds of soap do they have in the Rutgers locker room?
They got loofahs there. You think they got loofahs?
Loofahs. Are you a loofah guy?
No, not really.
You ever used a loofah?
I've used it before.
They're nice.
Yeah.
All right. Any other personal questions that we'd like to ask one another?
Soap. Let me check the Discord. We had some, then we had a couple ideas.
All right. While you're doing Twitter, that, just a couple other things, a quick reminder. Chase Dodd is still a strength coach on this football team.
He's a strength coach?
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't
assistant strength and conditioning.
He didn't really strike me as the strongest guy. When
he was last year, though. I was pretty sure. This isn't his first year.
I mean, like, I'm surprised that he's a strength coach. I don't think of Chase Dodd and think, like, yeah, you know, man of strength.
I think he is, though. He had a pretty good arm at one point. What else did I have on here? Oh, if you listen to part of my take, Jason McCourty was on. He did have they talked about Rutgers a lot because they like to call themselves Shiano men. And there was a fair amount of Rutgers talk in that interview. I definitely recommend checking it out. He also calls Greg Schiano batshit crazy at one point. So I again recommend listening to a little bit of that. It was good. That I think. Last thing. I am really disappointed in James Crouch's university. This was really kind of a pivotal moment in kind of South Carolina's, longstanding tradition of having a really interesting football program to follow. So if you aren't familiar with this story that was going on there in South Carolina, they, for some reason, had to change the nickname of their live mascot, which is either a rooster or a chicken. And one of the names, legitimate names being thrown out there, and it was totally allowed to be picked, was Cock Commander. And they did not go with Cock Commander. They went with the General.
Just the General?
The General.
General Cock?
After General Thomas Sumter, the Revolutionary War General.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. How do you mess that up?
It's messed up.
Go Cox.
Were you one of those guys that had the hat that said Cox on it?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
That is such a douchey guy.
There is a picture of me after my high school graduation, and we were at dinner with all of like my friends and their families, and we're all in shirts and ties, and for whatever reason, I have a South Carolina hat on my head backwards because it says Cox on them.
You were the guy with the Cox mm-hmm. hat.
Yeah.
That's not a great.
I also wore a hat for a really long time for like it was beat to shit by the end of it. When I was like, I probably started wearing it between the ages of like 11 and then 13 or 14, and it said not a South Carolina one.
Oh,
not, it did. No, not that yet. But it said "Hey Wussy Boy" on it. It said "Hey what," like in letter. It said "Hey Wussy Boy."
And I was
allowed to wear that, and like it was a great comfortable hat. I don't know why, but I feel like
statement is that making?
I don't know.
Is it like a bully?
I don't know. I mean, we mentioned the hat then, so it was a weird random anecdote. All right, I think that's all I had on my end, really.
I'm still getting these emails about the coaching from the coaching company.
So
3 years ago, I got 3 years ago, I watched the Chris Ash coaching instructional video. What is it called? How to Build a Championship Culture. So I signed up through the podcast email, and I guess I gave them my address because I made a purchase because I had to actually buy the video. And I was actually getting brochures in the mail until like a year ago. Now I just get emails every day to buy from what Fran Fraschilla says. It's like Netflix for coaches.
Can't believe we're still getting that stuff.
I'm still getting these emails. Over 613 hours of coaching materials, of coaching videos. Championship Productions Football.
I feel like if you're one of those people on who listen a fair amount, and you know this already too, and you're in like a fantasy football league and you like having one of those punishments at the end, your loser should go ahead and we'll hook you up with a bunch of these videos, and you should go ahead and have to do film reviews.
There's also a lot of other shit, like, I don't know, like Al Golden teaches you how to run the wishbone offense and shit. Like, I mean, I don't think that's actually one of them. Al Golden teaches you the wishbone offense, but
Al Golden teaches you how to tie a tie properly before you wear it as a coach.
On the picture of the video that he's in, it is him on a tie on the Miami sideline.
Well, yeah, because that he was one of those weirdos that wore a tie for everyone.
Who else wore a tie? Mike Nolan in the NFL wore a tie.
The Paterno wore a tie the entire time.
Yeah, how'd that work out? That's where not great. Yeah,
it was a tie.
And now he's
tie.
And now he's, and now he's dead. So
yeah,
how'd that work out?
Yeah, Jared from Subway, a big tie guy.
Oh wow. Okay, just coming in here, dropping like a fish on my lap.
I don't know. I'm not the one that likes Subway as a restaurant.
I can't stop thinking about the Lou Holtz video
because it's great.
It's so good.
Other things that came in the RU Screw podcast channel and the Discord from those that listen, Adam and wanted us to do overrated, underrated Boston edition. You've been to Boston?
I've been there once, yeah.
Overrated, underrated?
I went on one of those duck boat tours. That was cool, but mostly overrated.
Yeah, I think it's overrated. It's one of those, it's really cool in terms of how many colleges are around there. It's not an easy place. Like, Boston's not easy to get around. They've got like the T is like the subway system, but it stops running early. It's kind of broken apart. It's kind of almost like Rutgers in a sense with the way like the campuses are broken up. It's the same thing with all the schools there. I was at Harvard this past fall, and that was cool. That was cool to go around. But overall, I think Boston is overrated. I'm gonna say overrated.
Boston is you're saying Boston is the Rutgers of cities.
Boston is the Rutgers of cities. Yeah, kind of, I guess. But Rutgers is better. Rutgers is better than Boston.
Huh.
Yeah, it is. 35 minutes on the Watt Mags defensive potential. No, Dave White, thank you.
What about Boston cream donuts? Overrated, underrated?
Ooh. Yeah, overrated. Don't like that. Don't like that much cream in my mouth.
Wait, hold on. I'm not ready. I'm not in mid-season form.
All right. Kevin Fine asks, if Rutgers goes 12-0 but loses in the Big Ten championship game, will they still go to the college football playoffs?
There was something else that he asked that I wanted to answer.
I see it down in a little bit. Kevin Finnerty wants to know, is 2-10 with a win over Penn State a successful season? Yeah, of course, Kevin, it is. I'll build a statue at that point. By the way, I did get a text, a very nice text again from Raj, who agreed, Max, that if Rutgers is beating Penn State and they wind up winning that game, he has volunteered to record the ending and me storming the field.
Oh, nice.
So I appreciate that. And he will be joining me down there for when we beat Penn State this year.
Have you decided where on the field you two are going to meet, or you haven't gotten that far?
No, I think I'll probably, I'll give him our section number. He should do kind of like a, he should be following me down there.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do like a romantic, like meetup on like the 35 or something. And like, no, he needs to be my videographer.
So in like 2064, when this actually happens, is Rod still going to be there?
I thought you said it's happening. Don't keep teasing me like this. Kevin Fine again want to know, if you're not going to BC this weekend, what would be good menu items for an at-home tailgate? Which I think is a very good question. Do you have a preference when, like, if you're at home watching a football game, what you would go for?
I just throw a burger on the grill. Nice,
That's it.
I got some Bubba burgers. If it's just me,
I like making homemade nachos are good. Nachos are very easy. I feel like they're a great, great football snack.
You know what? I don't like restaurant nachos because they got all soggy.
You know whose restaurant nachos I do like though? Because they're smart in how they present them. Chili's.
Interesting. I've been Chili's
has great
in 15
great
years.
Nachos. If they're still the same, I haven't been to a Chili's in probably the same amount of time as you, but they kind of like individually lay out the chips on a big plate and kind of like a circle. So like it doesn't get soggy, right? Every chip has the right amount of cheese on there, like a jalapeno, little beans, whatever that is. And it just, it's perfect.
Hey, perfection. If someone from Chili's is listening and wants to pay us to endorse your restaurant, yeah,
perfect nachos.
We're for sale.
I think there's nothing like a good, like stuffed bread or stromboli. That's a nice at home snack for yourself.
I don't think I've ever made, a stromboli on my own.
I haven't made one, but I've got luckily some really nice places around here where you can get like prosciutto stuffed bread. There's nothing that's delicious. Very easy to make wings, go out and get, if you're going to bring stuff in. I always think wings are a great day game.
I think, I think I'm just going to watch the game at home. I'm going to get some wings. That's a good idea. That's
you a really boneless good idea. Or bone in?
No, bone in.
Okay.
Boneless, it's just they're too thick. You're a boneless guy?
No, I'm a bone-in guy too. I prefer the flats over the drumsticks.
I'm 100% with you.
Yeah. There's have you seen the trick that you do with the flats?
No.
It's a big TikTok craze. Not on TikTok. You take the flat, you push it down into whatever surface is there, and it breaks off one of like the legs basically. And it makes it into like a lollipop. And so you could just down you get all the meat at once, just a ton of meat in your mouth, and you're good.
I don't need to more efficiently eat my wings. I like the way that I eat my wings.
That's fine. I'm just saying it is an efficient way.
These Americans are always trying to figure out the way to most efficiently shovel food into your mouth. I think I've complained about this on the podcast before, but the sushi burrito, what a ridiculous thing to exist. You're taking this Japanese delicacy, and you need to put it in a way that's like more efficient to shovel it into your food hole.
Yeah, and into your gullet. Love a good sushi burrito.
I think it's an insult to sushi. I've never had one before because it insults me.
It is good. Okay, we're gonna skip over the punter bullshit that somebody suggested.
Oh, our former co-host is in Portland, Maine. You ever been to Portland before?
No.
Portland's really nice.
Yeah, I would like to get up to Maine at one point. I feel like that's a nice drive. That's a nice scenic drive, right? I don't know if I would do it with little kids.
It's like a 7-hour drive, that's probably with stops.
That's a lot. My parents went to Newport, Rhode Island recently.
Okay, I've been there a few times.
Weekend. They said that was very lovely. Good seafood over there.
My longtime female paramour went to college there in Newport.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rhode Island's very nice. I do like this. I don't have any ideas, but Adam N. also suggested funny NIL ideas. He's campaigning for Terrence Salami and Tyler Needham on the team to get deli deals. I think that's creative.
Yeah, that's good.
So name play on that right there. Bulk Shear wants to know what game will kill Scott Frost's career at Nebraska.
Hopefully it's the Rutgers game, right? That would be cool. Rutgers got rid of Brady Hoke.
Yeah, I caught this. I believe it was either Brett McMurphy or somebody tweeted this out. So on October 1st, his buyout drops from $15.5 million to $7.5 million. So they play Rutgers October 7th. They lose to Rutgers. He's not getting back on the plane to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. That's it. He's stuck in New Brunswick.
Maybe Shiano could hire him as like an offensive assistant. How funny, of some kind.
In the day and age of kind of Urban Meyer getting caught in the bar. I could just envision Scott Frost sad drinking at Old Queens or one of the really dingy bars.
Kelly's Corner.
Still left. Yeah. Just
Kelly's super Corner upset. Still there? Is Kelly's Corner still there?
I think it is.
Hmm.
I think it is. How many Rutgers quarterbacks will we see play on Saturday?
Oh, God.
Bookier wants to know.
Define play, right? Like, I think we're definitely going to see Wimsatt at some point. Vedrill's going to start. I'm going to say I we'll see two. We'll see Vedrill and we'll see Wimsatt.
Yeah. All right. I'll say two.
Mostly Vedrill.
Yeah. I don't know which two, but I'm going to say two. I think that's it. That's what we got. Good job. Again, good job for those that are on the Discord that have sent in items. As Max said, I do recommend it. It's fun. Maddie Waters on Twitter, you had asked on Twitter as well, wanted to know, would you rather have Rutgers play USC or UCLA for their first West Coast trip when they're in the Big
Ten? UCLA.
Yep.
Definitely UCLA. Love
Rose Bowl.
Yeah, and I love the area around the campus.
Westwood.
Yeah, Westwood's right? A nice little town.
So I would also go with UCLA. Also,
I'm gonna go out to Bill Walton. I think I'm gonna go out there whenever their first game against USC or UCLA has got some.
Yeah, we'll go and do that. I think that's good, and that's what we got. Somebody wanted to know about the hype video and also an update on the status of the Max and Danny one-on-one situation.
No hype video this year. That's still, I guess, up in the air. We never did settle that.
He's still claiming COVID or something. What's he doing?
I don't know. I guess we have to get on that. Trying to see if I didn't have anything else. Oh, you know what? There's something I wanted to play. So we tried to get in contact with Vlad this week. We couldn't, but I did find, Vlad called us nearly 3 years ago after the last time Rutgers played Boston College. So let's see what Vlad had to say 3 years ago. We're recycling old content because we don't have new content.
Hello, it's Vlad. I watched last week Rutgers lose. Vlad confused. Vlad not used to lose. Never lose before. Always win elections. Now, important game for Coach Christopher. I root for Red Army. Vlad listen more podcast this week. He like Red Spotlight. Rutgers smart have on broadcast. Cannot trust news media. Only trust Kremlin. Red Spotlight say fans not need say bad things about Rutgers on Twitter. Vlad agree. Protests bad. Vlad have too many friends for protests in Russia. Rutgers not allow protests too. Many actors paid by Western states, like Pennsylvania. Real Rutgers fans not complain. Smart to call administration instead. They ignore messages from public, like Vlad.
I miss fake Vlad.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come back at some point. We'll get in contact with him.
Should we wrap up with some gambling?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Let's do it.
All right, Adam, it's finally here. We have been waiting for this for months. The college football season is upon us. We already got a couple of really terrible games last week, that Nebraska-Northwestern game. I stayed up a little bit late to watch Vanderbilt, Hawaii. That was a terrible game. But this week, it's really getting into it. It's week one in the league where they play for no pay.
Supper.
It's still no pay, okay? The NIL stuff is not does not count.
Rutgers
anyway, Rutgers and Boston College play this Saturday in Chestnut Hill. I have no idea what the name of their stadium is. Do you?
No.
At Boston College Football Stadium, Rutgers and Boston College, noon on the ACC Network. Prime time for Rutgers. The Scarlet Knights are seven last time I saw it, a 7-point underdog on the road at Boston College Football Stadium. Adam, start with you.
All right. Alumni Stadium, by the way, is the name of where the Boston College Eagles play. Did you know, Max, that one of our best guests ever is on the coaching staff for Jeff Hafley? Savon Huggins.
I did know that.
Is on the coaching staff at Boston College. Shout out Savon. One of our best episodes ever. You should go back and listen to it. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Anyway, prediction for this weekend. I think Rutgers is going to take the Putin approach here. Just drop some deep bombs with no care in the world, with some limited accuracy. Connect every once in a while, and you got to score. Rutgers wins. Big. Big. A surprise, I want to say, on the arm of Evan Simon. Rutgers 31, Boston College 13.
Wow, 31-13. How do I follow that up? Well, I have no idea what to think of this team. I have no idea if they're going to be good or if they're going to be bad. I have no idea. But you know what? I had confidence struck into me at this offensive line, 325 pounds on average, this beefy, this chonky, this thick with two C's offensive line. They are going to be the key in Rutgers imposing their will on Boston College. Rutgers 27, Boston College 20.
We got to make our predictions for the season. What was the over-under for this season?
Four and a half.
Rutgers cakewalks. Cakewalks to six wins this season.
Cakewalks?
Cakewalks.
What is it? What is a cakewalk?
I don't know. But you could, just a reminder, you could have your cake and you can eat it too. Stop saying that you can't.
I still don't know what I don't know what a cakewalk is. Is it?
Is it
just like an
easy? No sweat.
What is it? Is it just somewhere you go with, like on like a Saturday, and you like walk and you look at cakes?
Don't
like cakes like lined up around a garden or something?
What is cakewalk? No. Hold on.
So you've got them cakewalking to six.
Cakewalking to six.
I had them at 4-8 before I heard about the chonky offensive line. Now I'm at the 5-7. But Adam, 5-7 with a victory over Penn State.
Oh.
They're going to lose to Nebraska at home, but they are going to beat Penn State at home. It is going to happen. This is the year with the chonky offensive line. Rutgers over Penn State.
So the cakewalk is a pre-Civil War dance originally performed by slaves on plantation.
Oh.
The uniquely American dance was first known as the prize walk. The prize was an elaborately decorated cake, hence prize walk. Is the original source for the phrases takes the cake and cakewalk.
Huh. I should have known. I probably should have known that it was somehow steeped in American racism. Oh, well.
By the way, I also have Florida State outright against LSU. Fuck you, Brian Kelly.
I always forget about your beef with Brian Kelly.
I have nothing else to say about Brian Kelly.
I feel like this was a really good episode.
I think it was pretty solid. Pretty solid heading into week one. We can do this every week now that we're in football season.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
We're back.
We're definitely back. Maybe we'll have a guest on next week.
Okay. All right. We'll aim for something along that. Is there like any notable Wagner alums? Any people with famous last name? Maybe Billy. Well,
here's the thing: I could look it up, or I could save a content for us next week. We don't want to give away all of our content, so we'll save Googling Wagner alumni for next week.
Okay, I'm in on that. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Rutgers and Boston College, and we'll talk to you next week.
Pay the players. NIL doesn't count. Give them the TV money.